pray, not my will, but thine, Lord. Oh, the answer I may never know is why he ever loved me so. Then to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? Yes, to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I?
Yeah. spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. For I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Deserve it, yes, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still you fall. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Good morning. So let's pray. God, today I love you. I honor you and I give you the praise for your word. And I pray, God, that your word pierces our heart to do what it intends to do in each of our lives for your kingdom's sake. Lord, we're not here for living for the brand. We're here for your kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray today, God, that you would just take your word and let it do its perfect work in each of our heart, that our lives would be transformed by your word and by your awesome power, and that we walk with the authority and bless people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalms 133, verse 1, the scripture says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Have you ever thought about if it's pleasant for God to see us dwell together in unity? Have you ever thought about what the opposite of that is if we're not in unity? How it feels to God. Well, I want to read that to you this morning. The opposite of not having unity as believers and as a church family is pure evil. I want that to soak in for a little bit. When we can't have unity, when we can't be positive about each other as a church family, it's pure evil. And James writes this to us in James chapter 3, verse 13 through 16. I want you to follow that with me. He said in verse 13, and right here, if you look in your Bible, most Bibles will read the same. At the heading of verse 13, it says, "Heavenly versus demonic wisdom." And it reads this way, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." But then he says in verse 17, he said, "But the wisdom that is from above." And we don't need to be wise in our own eyes, church. Being wise in our own eyes just gets us further down the evil road. Amen? I mean, our wisdom can lie to us and lead us in a wrong direction. But he says in verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield." Willing to yield means we learn to get along. Amen? And if the evangelical church in America today needs to learn one thing, and that's get along. I don't just mean, that's not just bam, trying to body slam here. It's what, if church is going to impact culture, we need to be obedient to God. So when we finish reading this scripture, he said it is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You know, we talked a couple of Sundays ago about us, if we get busy doing what God would have each and every one of us to do as individuals, if we get busy in that as a church family, then we wouldn't have time to focus on the faults of each other. Amen. When you're getting the hay out of the field, and there's some boys when you're getting them square bales out of the field, and it's 105 degrees, don't know why it is that it's always got to be the hottest part of the year when you're getting square bales out. Why can't we do it today? I mean, at 28 degrees, them hay bales has got heaters in them. I'm telling you. You wouldn't see it and you wouldn't recognize it, but you told enough of them, they got heaters. But when it don't matter if you got six boys out there and three of them is sandbagging, if they get one bale to your five, they at least getting that one bale you ain't got. And when we can recognize and you start seeing them, well, he ain't getting enough bales. Well, he's getting one more I ain't got to tote. That's what God's kingdom ought to look like. That we don't tolerate toxicity, and not everybody can be at the same place. Is that right? Not everybody can be at the same place. That's why we work together in the kingdom of God to further His kingdom, to further His kingdom purpose, to be an encourager to the one that may not be as understanding as you are, may not be able to look at things and laugh at it yet. Things make them angry. Some people get upset real easy. It's okay. We work together to create God's spirit in the church and not our own. Because our wisdom will lead us further down a wrong road. Amen. But I want to reflect back, if we think about the children of Israel and their escape from Egyptian captivity, in that time, you had to have the bloodshed of animals for the remission of sin. So there had to be a sacrifice made. There had to be a bull killed, a lamb killed, whatever, for the remission of sin. So the unity that the church it can experience now was not experienced when the Israelites escaped Egyptian bondage. So it was easy for them to enter this wilderness. And the Bible tells it this. If you go read in the book of Exodus, it called it that they wandered in the wilderness of sin. And for a large part, and what goes on in the church today, the evangelical community today, there's still this wandering cycle. And we're wandering in a wilderness of sin because of an unwillingness to surrender to God's authority. You're walking on my toes. No, God ain't aiming at your toes. He's aiming at your heart. So they wander in this wilderness of sin, and they couldn't even recognize the blessings. God fed them fresh bread every day, quail every day, and they still murmured, complained. And you know how long they did it? 40 years. I wonder if they called that bread Wonder Bread. Because they're just wandering around. What you doing? I'm just wandering around. For 40 years, you do the same old thing. And we understand that the definition of insanity is to do the same thing and expect a different result. And what the church needs to realize today, and we're the church, people. This building has nothing to do with the church. You're the church. We're the people of God. And God wants us to unite in His unity. And when we unite in His unity, because here's the big deal. This is the big news flash for you today. There needs to be no bloodshed of an animal for you today. You have been purchased with the life-shed blood of Jesus Christ.
And if the blood of Jesus has been applied to you, and it's been applied to your neighbor, and it's been applied to the person across the church from you, and it's been applied to the person behind you, and it's been applied to the person in front of you, let me tell you something. That's what makes you a brother and sister in Christ, not because you go to Living for the Brand Church. I love when I go over to Myanmar because I got one English-speaking brother there. And when I get over there with him, and I have to hunt Misa if I want to talk to somebody. But there's one word that is universal in the world that works everywhere you go if you're hunting a Christian. And it's hallelujah. It's the highest praise you can give the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And I look at some of them little people, and I know they're wanting to talk to me, and I don't know how to say their Burmese language, so I just say, hallelujah. And they look at me, and they go, hallelujah. And then there's this communication that begins to happen through the Spirit, not by the wisdom they have or I have. So we just get to have this little spiritual time of what God has done in our life through a hallelujah together. Let me tell you something. When we begin to accept each other by the hallelujah that's in your life. Why do you say hallelujah? Because I'm going to tell you why I say hallelujah. If God's done anything for you, if you've seen the miracle of God in any kind of fashion, you got a hallelujah. Come on now. And if we can just learn to hallelujah together and let the Spirit of God unite us instead of walking around divided and not even know each other. It breaks my heart as a pastor to hear people, well, do you know so-and-so? No, I don't believe I know them. Really? No, I don't know them. Well, they've been going to church here longer than I've been the pastor here. And you've been going to church here longer than I've been pastoring. And y'all don't know each other? I don't believe I can't. That's sad. Is it okay for me to say that? Because why is it sad? Because we're missing God's purpose for each one of us. We're missing what God intended for us to have, and that was unity and fellowship together. And you may be needing some encouragement in your life. You may be walking through something that nobody else can understand because you don't know if that person next to you might have been through the same thing you've been through, because we choose not to know each other. We just exist in the same building. And guys, I want to challenge you from the depths of my heart today. My wife asked me Friday, am I going to preach Sunday? And I said, it is my intention. I have not had a good week. And because I know the Lord was speaking to me. And it's in this, that while they wandered in the wilderness of sin, the Bible says, if they wanted any remission for their sin, they had to go shed blood. Today, we have no excuse not to walk in unity, because the sacrificial lamb of the world has purchased you out of all your darkness, out of all your despair, out of everything that you can physically, emotionally think about or go through. You've been purchased out of that. You got a reason to give the Lord a hallelujah. Come on. Can we just give Him a hallelujah? Hallelujah. I want to jump over here. I want to jump over here to John chapter 17. And we're going to start at verse 1. The sacrificial lamb of the world. Praise the longest prayer recorded in the scripture right here in John chapter 17.
Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh. I want you to look who has authority over all flesh. Jesus. And he can't have authority over your flesh if you're not willing to surrender it to him. Amen. It's impossible. We can know about him. We can come to church every Sunday. We can show up. We can be a part. We can set in our staunch, religious, self-righteous ways. Hello? And miss the blessings of the Savior. He said, Father, the hour has come to glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is the eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished your work, which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the foundation of the world was. He said in verse 6, I have manifest your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. We hear, you go, man, Frankie, you talk a lot about we got to read that word. Right here it is. If we don't put word in, what we put in us is what we get out of us. We are each a channel. This is how we can hallelujah together. When you've overcome something big in your life and you get a hallelujah put inside of you, it's more than just a word on your lips. Because Jesus said, you can honor me with your lips, you can praise me with your mouth, yet your heart can be far from me. But when God does something internal and the hallelujah begins to come from the heart, and it begins to come from the Spirit, I'm going to tell you something. You get the feeling like you're walking about this high off the ground. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And if unity ain't important to this sacrificial lamb, then why'd he pray this prayer? Watch here. He said, I have glorified you on the earth, and I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Verse 5. I was in verse 6, wasn't I? I don't want to read it 7 times. Y'all bear with me. I'm buying the gas. Y'all just ride. I have manifested your name to the men you've given me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. This is why it's important that we get in the word. What we put in us is what we get out of us. If we never put his word in us, it's no wonder we never understand the word. It's no wonder that the evangelical church can't stand on the promises of God, and we're watching the evangelical church cave off into this cancel culture and this woke ideology of foolish nonsense that has no foundation under it. And because the Bible teaches us that his word is a solid foundation. And then the Bible tells us also that all other ground is sinking sand. And what we're watching is a culture sink and fail, and an evangelical, so-called evangelical movement go with it because it's not standing in the Word. Well, let's shed some blood. Let's get the blood's done been shed. It's why they wandered in a wilderness of sin for 40 years. We've got no excuse anymore. The evangelical church of 2024 don't have an excuse not to
walk on the promises of God. Oh, he walked on water. You're walking on the promise. It may not be comfortable when you walk on the promise. It may not be comfortable when you stand against homosexuality and all sexual immorality. Hello? And I mean every bit of it. It's not comfortable when you say those things in that culture. Culture says you better be quiet about that. But the Word of God says if we tell them and it enters into their heart, and the Word will enter into their heart, not our condemnation. That's where the church has failed. We know how to condemn, but we don't know how to love. But when we begin to love the way God loved, you know what his love does? He loves you out of sin, not in it. He'll never make you feel comfortable in your sin. Because the blood that Jesus shed, there needs to be no more shed for us. Watch what he says here in verse 8. For I have given them your words, which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. You see what Jesus said? This is why the world is going to do what the world is going to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, church, the church has no business following the world's order. Hello? I'm going to tell you this for me. If I'm the only one standing here, I still ain't going with the world. I refuse. We got a world now, political system, says I need reprogrammed. I'm good with that. Reprogram me. I'm standing on the Word. It don't matter. He said, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all are mine, and yours are mine. And I am glorified. I am glorified. I am glorified in them. If we don't line ourselves up with Christ, he's not glorified. I'm going to say that again. If we as individuals do not line ourselves up with Christ, he is not glorified. There don't need to be another animal's bloodshed. The lamb, the sacrificial lamb of God, has purchased you with his life's blood. Now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them through your name. I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Now we're getting to the important part of you and me knowing each other in this house, accepting each other's flaws and failures. Hello. Well, I don't like them kind of shirts he wears. I don't like that color. Sounds like you need to get over it. I want you to know this, and I mean this as strong as I can say it this morning, that I love each and every one of y'all. And ain't a thing you can do to stop me. But if we don't love each other, this world loses. Our community loses. If we don't learn to love each other in here first, how can we impact Athens, Texas? We won't. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them through your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition. I want to read to you the definition of perdition. a state of eternal punishment and damnation into which a sinful and unrepentant person goes after death. You know how we talk about repentance being a place, a point of turning? I ain't going that way no more. No, it's a new direction. Here's what I got to say to you as a Christian. If you're a Christian and your ways never changed, then what saved you? If you're a Christian and you never had a turning point, because to be a Christian means to be little Christs. If we never change, I got to challenge us about our Christianity. Verse 13. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and this world has hated them because they are not of this world. You and me cannot be of this world. The evangelical church in America cannot be of this world. That's according to the word. And I believe the word. Amen. Just as I am not of the world, Jesus said. And he said in verse 15, I do not pray that you would take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then he said in verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. Hello, folks. We don't get saved and just show up at church and then go home and pretend we don't exist. There is a hurting world outside of these four walls. And the people of God need to begin to march in step with our leader, and his name is Jesus, and make a difference. Verse 19. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by truth. Sanctified means set apart. He said in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's why it's important that we know the word of God, that we know the Bible, that we not just know the Bible, but get a revelation from the Bible. I'm telling you, when we begin to read the Word of God and we begin to pray and we seek after God, revelation begins to be revealed to you. It's not something I sat and thought up of or trying to think. When they had to sacrifice animals back when they wandered in the wilderness of sin, but we don't have an excuse anymore. The Lord reveals this stuff to us. Only from our hunger from wanting more of Him. And I want you to know something. Jared nailed it this morning with these kiddos. You're created in the image of God. You're somebody. I don't care what you've been through. It don't matter. I want to hear your testimony of how you were an overcomer because you stood in Christ. And when we begin to share that, there's somebody sitting next to you my story ain't going to be nothing like your story. Your story won't be nothing like mine. It won't be like Steve's, but our stories are different. But somebody needs to hear what God's done in your life, because there's plenty in the same place you've been. Plenty in the same place that you've been. He said in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22, and the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect and one. The word perfect in Scripture, and we wear this out in the evangelical community. Well, I ain't perfect. Are you mature? Because the word perfect means mature. And the only way to be mature in Christ is to be in His Word. It'll establish your character. The Word of God creates the character of God. I'm going to say that again. The Word of God creates the character of God. And that's why Jesus, when He came to this earth and He's prayed it in this prayer, I didn't come to do my will, but I finished Your will, God. I finished what You've sent me here to do. And He told them all, I didn't come to do my will, but I came to do the will of the Father who sent me. And we need to start being about the Father's business as a church. That they all, verse 21, that they also may be one as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. And then verse 22 says, and the glory which You have given Me, I have given them, that they may be one just as We are one. Do you think it's important that the church of Jesus be one? Amen. Verse 23 says, I in them and You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that You have sent Me, and that You sent Me, and love them as You have loved Me. Father, I desire that they also, whom You have given Me, may be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which You have given Me. For You loved Me before the foundation of the world. And then He says, O righteous Father, the world has not known You. Let me tell you something. The reason the world rages in the manner that it does today is because it don't know Him. And if you're displeased with how this world is headed, then start standing on the foundation and watch the world begin to change around you. Hello? Because the power ain't in us. It's in Him. And if we stand on His Word, God's going to do great things. And then He says in verse 25, O righteous Father, the world has not known You, but I have known You. And these have known that You have sent Me. And I have declared to them Your name and will declare it, that the love which You have loved Me may be in them and I in them.